The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We are Living by the Word Ministries, a nonprofit organization dedicated to one cause. That cause is the truth given in the Holy Bible, which we believe is the inerrant and infallible Word of God, conferred to man to live by. We let the Word of God be the final authority as to what is or is not true. We strongly feel that if we do not expose false doctrine, we only encourage it. This ministry is designed to challenge you from an apologetic point of view. 1 Peter 3:15 instructs us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This is Michael Tinsley. Please stay tuned while we arm you, the believer, to keep living by the Word. It's the noble thing to do.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Living by the Word Ministries presentation of the Bible Information Brokers. Hi, my name is Daryl E.Z.D. Fulton, one of the teammates, and we welcome you to the broadcast. We want to take the opportunity to wish everyone well, and we trust and pray that everyone is doing well, especially in the California area, whereby we're dealing with the possibility of a inclement weather that, unlike we've known before. We're not live in studio today, so we won't be taking any phone calls, but we're setting up prayerfully that we can get online with Facebook. So if you have the opportunity for Facebook, then you can actually dial in now at Bible Info Brokers, Bible Info Brokers on Facebook on that particular format. And you can send questions in that way, also along with other formats of True Social, tweet, email, or messenger. We can receive those questions by the technology of internet and cyberspace. So whether it's Facebook, email, .com website, tweeting us questions, emailing us questions, again, at the .com website, or even messenger, you can send us those questions as well. So before I bring in the other teammate, we'll start off with a word of prayer and get ready for the broadcast here. Father God, we thank you for the privilege and the opportunity to do your business. We just ask and pray that everyone tonight, especially tonight, Lord, we ask a special blessing on everyone that is involved with this broadcast, for those that may be traveling, getting home, listening on the radio and the other methods that they can listen to the broadcast on, that they might be safe and play it safe. Lord, we just ask that you would protect and guide the everyone that is on the road, and that they may get to a safe place so that they may not have to deal with the inclement weather that's no matter where they are in the world, but especially in this particular time in California. We ask, Lord, as we're trying to do your kingdom business, we thank you for the privilege. We ask for the opportunity of clarity of mind as we deal with the issues that we're going to deal with today on this special format that we have today, where Professor and I will be doing most of the talking. And we appreciate the privilege of continuing to do ministry and kingdom business. And I just ask and pray for everyone involved in Jesus' precious and matchless name. Amen. Now, without further ado, I will bring my other teammate on the line, and Professor Craig Hawkins, PCH, are you there telephonically, like we both are?
Hey, Daryl, good evening.
This is the first time we ever did anything like this. It's remote, huh?
Yeah, well, was that or Memorex? So we said, we'll
Memorex. Hey, we're aging ourselves, brother. I don't think a lot of people might know what this Memorex stuff is. So let's try to bring it from the watch this. Let's bring it from the text or the faxes to the Texas.
Boy.
But PCH, because we have a special program and we're still trying to get things connected, maybe even on Facebook, I'm gonna ask that you would sort of like grab the baton here and tell us what's on your mind. I do have some questions as we go along, but we want to do some teaching before on some issues. So why don't we take the privilege and the opportunity to do some teaching on some of the things we talked about we were going to teach on that people probably chomping at the bits to hear about. So what's on the professor's mind today?
Well, I'd love to do that, but how about you start us off with a word of prayer and then we'll get into that.
Well, I did already pray. I don't know if you heard it or not. So I did pray, and I'll open this up with prayer. So I know I did that already. And I don't know how it came through or not, if you heard it or not. But right now, since we are hearing each other back and forth, I did open up with a word of prayer. And so actually, I can start off with a question. I mean, I just got through reading something that was going to deal with a very controversial issue in regards to transgenderism and sports. I just literally found out about an organization called the AU Athletic Unlimited, and they go with softball, women in sports, and everything like that, and a whole unique program. And I was reading about their transgenderism, but before I get into that, I want to be quoting them directly, so I will get it and read it later on. But why don't we go ahead and transition to something that's on your mind as I get that particular situation set up.
Well, sure. Thanks, Daryl. There we go. I appreciate that. Yeah, there's a lot of things on my mind, but in particular, a key theme, and maybe I'll just kind of generally outline this, and then we can fill in the blanks, if you will, as we decide time is appropriate. Really wrestling, grappling a lot with prayer and the life of prayer and how important prayer is in the life of the believer, of the Christian. That's really the main issue that I've been thinking a lot about lately. And there's various types of prayers and so on and so forth, but intercession's a big part of it. We go back to, let's say, Numbers 21:7, and we see Moses, the Israelites ask them, because they've sinned, they ask him to intercede for them, that God does not judge them. So to intercede, to intervene, to be a mediator, it is a vital part. It's not the only type of prayer, but it is a part of prayer of intercession, and we see it quite a bit in the Old Testament and then in the New Testament as well, not just the Old Testament. I want to be careful there. So, but we do see that again, Moses in Numbers 21:7. We'll eventually, if we have time, we'll get to Luke 18:1, where Christ speaks a parable to this end that people ought to always pray and not give up. But there's other places, quickly. Ezekiel, a fascinating passage, Daryl. Ezekiel 22, verses 30 through 31. Where God talks about, I sought among them, the Israelites, that is, someone who would stand in the gap. And the idea would be when walls had been breached, the walls were one of the main defenses of an ancient city, and some of them were not that wide, and some of them were wide enough that you could ride a chariot or two chariots around them. I mean, so they ranged in size. But a gap is where that's a weakness. That's where there's a hole in the wall. And we read like in Nehemiah and Ezra where they were rebuilding the wall, and then in one place it says they had basically a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other hand, because they're having to build, defend themselves while they built. But again, Ezekiel 22 is really fascinating, because God says, I sought, again, one among them who would stand in the gap and intervene, but I couldn't find one. So he judges them. And so this idea in our interaction with God, to me, is the other intriguing side of this, is that God doesn't need us, but he wants us and he uses us. And when we don't step up and fulfill our responsibilities, sometimes bad things happen, because there's no one to intervene. And not that God's, again, weak or capricious in that, but it's the idea that there's nobody who seems to care. And therefore, judgment falls on people because people don't care about it. It's not even on their radar, if you will. So you know, in addition to this great passage in Numbers 21:7, Then this, again, there's a lot of passages, but Ezekiel 22:30-31, where God seeks someone to stand in the gap, that's crazy to me, important. But also Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, Paul refers to Epaphras, one of his co-workers, and he talks about how he's always wrestling in prayer with God for them. He's interceding again, the intervention, the interceding, intercession. He's praying that God would bless them, that they would stay strong, be strong, stay strong in the faith. And it uses the word picture of like a wrestler, a metaphor of wrestling, like Jacob of old who wrestled with God, and he takes it so seriously. And prayer can be difficult. It can be work. We can talk more about that later on if we want. But that's another key passage. But let me go to a passage, Daryl, as I open this up, that to me is just incredibly fascinating. We have this passage in Daniel. Daniel has various visions, and basically in Daniel 9, he's seeking God. He's seeking wisdom for what's going on with Israel and the judgment of Israel being taken to Babylon, and how long is this going to be, and what's all going on here. And so Daniel's a real prayer warrior, a real man of God, and he's praying and supplicating God. Well, let me read this, Daryl, because I won't do it justice if I don't just read it here. And he has some interesting things happen to him. And the spirit realm is something that Christians, ironically, don't talk much about. We don't hype on it, but we shouldn't ignore it either, because it does exist, and God talks about it. Again, we don't try to supplicate or contact spirits, angels, or otherwise. That's not our job. But clearly it is to intercede and to request of God a petition or supplication, we would say, for ourselves or others. But let me get here, Dale. I'm just turning there, sorry, to the passage. I was teaching on this passage and then last week, among other passages we just mentioned, and then I was talking to a friend, and he just brings this up out of the blue, if we will. We're talking about devotional life and the priority of getting that in wherever possible, first thing in the morning, because our lives get things get squeezed out. Even the best intentions, the things we want to do, we get so busy that those things we go to do don't happen. And then it's the end of the day, you put your head on the pillow and you're out. You know what I'm saying? So here's this crazy passage, one of the most perplexing and intriguing passages of all the whole Bible, to me at least, in Daniel 9 and 10. So again, Daniel, you can look at chapter 9. He was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, the Lord my God. And while I was in prayer, Gabriel, and he talks about Gabriel, who Gabriel appears to be an archangel. And for time's sake, we won't read all that's found from Daniel 9, especially 9:20 through the end of the chapter, and then even the first part of chapter 10. But this is in the third year of the reign of Cyrus, king of Persia. And at any rate, we'll pick it up at verse 10. Actually, a little earlier, these guys, they hear something, they see a vision, if you will, but they don't know what's going on. It's only Daniel who sees clearly what's going on. Listen to this. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the banks of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen, with a belt of the finest gold around his waist. Now, by the way, it's often said man, because when angels appear in human form, is that their natural form or not? I don't know. All I know is generally when someone sees an angel in the Bible, they're described as a person, as a man. And so it is here. Not that it was just literally or only a human or a man, but he appeared as such. But I digress. And so, again, he has this incredible belt of the finest gold and so on and so forth. He talks about him. His face was like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze. So this is clearly no normal guy. And his voice like the sound of a multitude. I, verse 7, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. The men who with me did not see it, But such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So they knew something was up, and they were scared witless, but they didn't see it the way Daniel saw it. Indeed, maybe they didn't see anything, but they had this sense of dread, of terror, of a holy terror, if you will. And so it says that, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at the great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deadly pale, and I was helpless. Then I heard him speaking. As I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. By the way, I always chuckle. I hear people say, well, you know, if there's a God and I wake up in his presence, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. I'm like, even on earth, people see angels. It's like, no, you won't. You're going to be so scared. You're going to be scared witless. You won't be, you'll be muttering maybe. I doubt you're going to be saying anything, especially in reproach or to God. Every time somebody even sees an angel in the Bible, they're like dead men. They're like, they hit the ground because they lose all their strength. So Daryl, this is just a setup, and we'll get to the punchline in a moment here. Again, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. Okay, so this is Gabriel, archangel, sent to Daniel. Now listen to this, though. Then, verse 12, he continued, do not be afraid, Daniel. It's like you're scared witless. Don't be afraid. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. So in other words, Gabriel tells him, the very first day when you started to pray, God heard you. You were looking for wisdom, insight into the teaching, God's teaching of his word, from the parts of the Old Testament that were already written, and he's seeking understanding, and God doesn't delay. God doesn't go, well, I'll get to him. I'm busy right now. I got a bigger name in here or something. God instantly hears his prayer, but from the first day when you set yourself to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. Now I have come in response to them, but listen to this. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. And now you're like, oy vey, what? And of course, this isn't some mere human prince. This is referring, I believe, to some demonic entity, some high-powered spirit that fell with the devil and following the devil. Resist him 21 days. This is an archangel, but even more than that, he's sent by God himself. And you're like, 21 days? What's going on here? And so, again, I would argue there's at least four answers to prayer. Yes, no, wait, and quit asking. but this one, he is having to wait because what? Because this prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, in other words, an archangel here, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. I couldn't get through. It's kind of like, you know, I was trying to get through to you, but the defensive guy was blocking me out, if you will. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. While he was saying this to me, I bowed my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips. No, this looked like a man. He's not a man. He's another angel, but he looks human. Touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, so Gabriel, I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I am helpless. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my Lord? My strength is gone, and I can barely breathe. Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. Do not be afraid, O man highly esteemed, he said. By the way, if this is highly esteemed, I'd hate to see lowly esteemed, what happens to that person. But again, so don't be afraid, O highly esteemed one. Peace, be strong now, be strong. Then he spoke to me. I was strengthened and said, speak, my Lord. By the way, the word Lord here, the words we're used dealing with are things like Adonai. This is not the name of God, Yahweh, Yahweh in Hebrew, the name of God. This would be like Kurios in the New Testament. The Greek would be the counterpart of Adon or Adonai, which in Hebrew, which means could be master, sir, you know, could be Lord, could be the Lord God, but it has a range of meanings and only context tells you. So clearly he's a Lord, he's a high-ranking angel. We could even just think of it as saying sir or mister, you know, proper respect to authority, and especially to an archangel when you're quaking in your boots. So then he spoke to me, I was strengthened, and said, speak, my Lord, since you have given me strength. We're just about done here, Daryl. He says, so he said, do you know why I've come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. He's going to go back to this fight. And then when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. So he's referring to the Tanakh, parts that have already been written of the Old Testament at this time. But first I will tell you what is written in the book of truth about the things about Israel and their future that Daniel's been praying about and asking about. But listen to this last parting shot here of Gabriel. He says, no one supports me against them except, that is, the prince of Greece and of Persia, these demonic spirits. So no one supports me, that is, no one comes and aids me and helps me, fights with me, except Michael, your prince. Well, we know Michael is an archangel. Now, Daryl, think about this. This is Daniel, a man of God, highly esteemed, highly favored. It takes 21 days to get answered prayer, and then it talks about all this spiritual warfare. I don't know about you, I'm just like, I'm amazed. I'm like, what is going on here? And I wonder if God were to give us a glimpse into the spirit world and in the sense of could see it, sight, if you will. How much it would freak us out. And again, now some people think, oh, you know, this stuff's all hogwash and this is all Christians hyping out. But the biblical view, I would argue, is no, I think we've underestimated this. I think C.S. Lewis hit the nail on the head when he talked about in Screwtape Letters how most of us live like we're materialists. By that I mean not just we're into materialistic things, but we only think the material world exists. We act or we live as if there's no spirit realm. But again, yep. I'm just fascinated. Daryl, he's fasting, he's supplicating God. I mean, he's deadly serious, and it takes 21 days to get an answer. And again, there's all this fighting, all this stuff going on behind the scenes that he can't see, but that God, like with the Job, like in Job chapter 1 and 2, where we get a glimpse into heaven and what's going on. Same thing in Job, again, chapters 1 and chapter 2. But it just reminds me, Daryl, the point of prayer and of perseverance, of persisting, of not giving up, of not quitting, sticking with it, fortitude, if you will. And I don't want to say because prayer is powerful, because that's nonsense to me. Prayer is not something like a power like electricity or gravity or something that we use. Prayer is communication. It is communion, but specifically communication, whether supplication, intercession, prayer, praise, worship, praise, worship, what have you, the various aspects of it, thanksgiving. It's communication. It is communion with God, and God powerfully works through that. That's how we communicate with God. But I believe to the point, at least for right now, Daryl, is that most of us believers, we're not really serious with prayer. Prayer is kind of like, well, if I have time and I don't, I would do it. Because I got important things to do, mm-hmm. you know. I'm busy, man. I got people to talk mm-hmm. to, places to go, things to do. I need to, you know, look at my TikTok account. I got to look at my Instagram, my Facebook, check emails, text. Like we're all just so busy with these really important things that we don't spend the time that I think we should. We can and we should spend in prayer and fellowship with God. And so to me, there's just a lot to learn. I've gone on for a while, but I've got a lot more here. But my point is, this is something it's not like I just discovered prayer and just, you know, first time I thought about this. Wow, really?
A new discovery. Wow, professor found something new.
Yeah, I've been a Christian since 75, so this isn't new. But my point is, but it's hitting me a new, freshly of powerfully of perseverance, of the point of persisting, of communion with God, of the privilege, of the honor, but the need for it. And then on the other hand, I look at the church in America, as you know, as also I travel various parts of the world, I see, and I'm generalizing, but many Christians have such a lackluster, if even that, prayer life. They don't really have much of a prayer life. Most people, most believers don't pray much until there's a tragedy, until there's some life and death, or so at least certainly very important event, like they're about to lose their house or, you know, what have you. Then all of a sudden, oh boy, we learn how to pray real quickly until it's over with, and then we're like back to normal. Like, oh boy, I don't need to be obsessed on this. But Daryl, just how vital prayer is and how much we miss out. And I think it also explains why the church, in my opinion, especially in the Western world, is so weak, is so anemic, because we don't really take this seriously. We don't get it.
You know,
we're just playing with ourselves.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you right there, brother, but I'm telling you, what you are preaching on was just a continuation of what we talked about in church today from Ephesians 3, verses 20 and 21. And when you start talking about prayer, you start talking about how effectual it's going to be from a believer to the next. And I'm just childish. And correct me if I'm wrong. Am I just childish that even though we have this strange weather supposed to be coming through California, I've missed Katrina by hours. I've been through four or five hurricanes. I know the devastation that it can be. And, from tropical storms to hurricanes at massive, levels. And I'm just wondering that we were talking about in church today as far as how God is able to do far beyond all we can ask and think. So, and you talked about how people pray and how anemic we are in prayer. It seems like, and this is just the way I was thinking today. I'm saying, you know what, Lord, could this thing be like a Passover type situation? We have a hurricane in California, unheard of for over 80 years. Would it be wrong for me to pray? And I'm asking you specifically this and for the listening audience, would it be wrong for me to pray, Lord, protect all those believers first? I'm going to talk about believers and everything like that. And Lord, is this possibly could be, and you've done it before in the past, whereby the Lord used the various control over the weather to get things done. He stopped the sun, or he dialed back whereby someone asked for a day and somehow we lost a day. I don't know if that's how we got on leap year or not, but God is very active in regards to this stuff. Is it wrong for me to pray that we be protected, even like the Passover lamb type thing? I'm not asking, is it wrong? I'm just asking for that type of thing. That's the God we're dealing with. That's my whole point. That's the God we're dealing with.
I would argue we should pray about everything. Nothing's too little, nothing's too big. Now, again, it doesn't mean we don't use common sense. It doesn't mean we don't aren't safe. Like, that's why you guys are not out in the roads tonight, and we're not in the studio because of, you know, the rain. And I saw, you know, well, accidents that people don't in California had to drive in this type of weather. The thing they can do, they're 80 miles an hour, and then they're surprised that the car ends up going the other direction. And what have you. But again, we use common sense, we prepare, and we understand there are meteorological, boy, I'm having trouble saying that. Regarding the weather, and you know, we're not like, oh, you know, God moves every cloud and everything, but we do believe, as you're saying, God can intervene. But Daryl, I think it is vital that we do intercede, and we should pray, and not just for Christians. But you said something, and you know, and doing this study, I've been going back and digging deeper. I feel like I've been mining. I've mined in this mine before, the mine of prayer, if you will, thinking of like, you know, someone mining for gold or silver or platinum or whatever. But I'm going a little deeper, and I've got my scholarly sources out. I was looking at my Kittle Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, you know, 10 volumes. Got out my Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, or my bag, Bauer Arndt Gingrich, if you will. Got out some other dictionaries. But one of them, I wrote it down, Daryl, besides talking about communion with God, but in one of them it said, quote, the request of a child to a father subject indeed to the Father's will. But here's a full blown academic, a very scholarly individual, in a scholarly article, but he talks about it is on par with, it is equivalent to the request of a child to a father. So you ask, is it childish? And I would argue, no, actually the childish part is when we don't intercede, when we don't request, petition God. We just assume, well, I'm going to write it out. God, I can take care of this. God, don't worry. We're in control, or we're good, or I'm not a child. I'm not scared. And to our own chagrin, to our own harm, we don't supplicate God and ask for God's intervention and protection.
I think it's so doggone super important. Meaning that as a compliment, that to have that childlike faith that you would just trust in God, that He's going to do what is the absolute best for you, and not just give you what you're asking for, but give you exactly what you need.
Yeah, and of course it's and rightly, by the way, the article that I'm referring to from a theological dictionary rightly references 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have if we ask anything in accord with His will. He hears us, mm-hmm. And if He hears us, we have our petition that which we requested. Now, the here is metaphorical. God hears everything. It's not like, oh, I didn't hear that. Here in the sense of grant the request. I hear you, and I'm going to grant your request. And this is vitally important, Daryl, and some have called this the great prayer filter or the key to prayer, praying to the Father by the mediation and power and authority of Jesus Christ, with the aid and assistance of the Holy Spirit. But the key is it's according to God's will. And so in prayer, in spite of what we may think, you know, people may say, well, why would I pray? If God knows everything, if Hawkins, like you say, if God knows everything, He's all powerful, why would I have to pray? Like He already knows anyway. Or what good would it be? The other side of that coin is, what good would it be to pray? Perhaps we can address that if we want tonight as well. But Daryl, it's vital. And again, the only childish thing I can see here is not taking God at His word. We didn't invent prayer. He did. He tells us to pray. And yet we so often don't do it. We generally only do it when we're in some type of crisis.
You know, PCH, you didn't ask for this, and I'm telling you, this was one of the first questions other than that transgender thing that was superseding the question I wanted to ask to open up the program tonight if we were in a studio. But since this is such a good segue into this question, you mentioned the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit when you said in reference to prayer, but I did not hear you mention Mary. And the reason why I'm saying that is because one of my questions, maybe we can kind of segue into this and kind of put a cap on the prayer and then continue with it, because I think it's such an important subject we can spend hours and hours on it, which we should, since we don't spend minutes and minutes on it during the day or week, as we just said, how anemic we are as a body. But the two words I was going to bring up is the word assumption and ascension. And the assumption part, if you can make it clear to the people, is why I'm even mentioning, you didn't mention Mary in prayer, where our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters deal with that. And my understanding is because of the assumption versus the ascension. Not versus, but instead of the ascension, for the ones that you mentioned.
Well, sure. And let me just say this, in case someone just joined us. Normally we do live Q&A. We are live tonight. But because of the storm and that, and because it's a long drive and what have you, so we're doing the program live tonight, but we are not answering, at least via the phone, telephonically.
Right, we have Facebook. We have some Facebook.
We have some
Facebook questions coming in, and we appreciate the Facebook listeners that go ahead and continue asking those questions.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to mention, though. But you can go to Facebook, to our Facebook page, and you can ask questions, right. And we will be taking some a little bit later. So we can't take you telephonically tonight, but we can take your Facebook or other social media platforms, right, Daryl? They can contact us through right?
And I'll give them those in a sec. I'll give them those in a second. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of you saying my word, Craig. Stop saying my word so much, man. I'm getting a little jealous over here. So, you know, I'm getting in the flesh. So stop saying telephonically when that's the only word I know that's more than two syllables. But
we're getting back. But yeah, folks, seriously, though, like Professor was saying, you can actually go to our Facebook page at Bible Info Brokers, Bible Info Brokers on Facebook, True Social, Messenger, Tweet, our .com website, and send questions by those methods as well. We're going to try to deal with those questions a little bit later on in the broadcast. But PCH, if we can get back to tying in that, though, that assumption and ascension thing, because you did not mention Mary as far as when we're praying to get our prayers answered.
Well, sure, and again, we're not trying to be disrespectful. Mary's a great lady.
Not at all.
She deserves honor. Indeed, Roman Catholics would refer to her as getting high honor, and I have no problem with that per se. But with all due respect, I don't need Mary to intercede for me. And I'll come back to that in a moment. But you often hear, if you want to get in with somebody, you know, if you know their mother and they have a good relationship with their mom, they listen to their mom. Wouldn't you want their mom to intervene for you? And well, that's fine if that was true. But the point is, I have no idea reason to believe that she can even knows or can hear in the first place what's going on in my life or what have you. But more than that is, I have direct access to God, the triune God. I can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace to help in a time of need. I have direct access. I don't need an intermediary. I don't need an intermediary, if you will, to go into God's presence. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not saying, and we've already mentioned, interceding for others, right? We've talked about that, intercession. That's a key type of prayer. But we do it not because that person can't do it. We do it because people we care about, yeah, we want to intervene, intercede on their part, plead their case, if you will. But it's not that because they can't do it themselves, because they don't have the same access. We just simply believe it's the right and good and loving thing to do. So with all due respect, I have no reason to believe Mary even knows what's going on, cares what's going on, could do anything about it. And I'm never told to pray to her or anybody else. We pray to God. Always only prayer is to God. Now, we can debate. We're praying to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all three, what have you. But we're never told to pray to any other human. Indeed, I would argue that's sacrilegious, that's blasphemous, or angel for that matter. We're not even told to pray to angels. You know, in fact, there's times where people start to worship angels, like in Revelation and John, and he says, hey, no, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant. Don't go there. Now, some would say, well, we're not worshiping Marys. Well, some do in Roman Catholicism, but even for those who don't, with all due respect, I have no reason to believe that she can or does or cares intercede for me, and I can intercede for myself, thank you very much. And of course, so humanly, we are told, not just we can do it, Daryl, we're told to intercede for one another, to make intercession. So we're simply fulfilling what God's told us to do.
Indeed, peace. And folks, again, if you're listening by way of Facebook and you're not getting the full volume of the professor or myself, we apologize. This is the first time we're ever doing this thing remotely and trying to get all the technology correct, and we apologize for that. So what we will do is that we will receive the questions, and it'll be on the archive shows where you'll be able to listen to it later on this week. But please send in your questions by way of Facebook and the other social media platforms that we have, True Social, Messenger, Tweet, or .com website. And I apologize for that situation, but we just made the decision not to travel in the weather. I want to maintain my marriage, and if I dare leave, I would have been in serious trouble. So I know you guys want my marriage to be successful, so I thank you in advance. PCH, you know, you're right, man, about the whole prayer thing and the whole idea about how we are to pray, who we are to pray to, and why we are to pray. And I'm going to just simply say that I pray that we would pray more. I pray that I would pray more. I pray that we all learn the seriousness of the communication that we want to have with the one that saved our wretched soul to the degree that we just need to understand that. It's like having children, you don't never talk to them. It's like having a relationship, a serious relationship with husband, wife, brother, sister, mother, father, and you don't communicate with each other, that's not the obviously that's not the thing to do. So in light of that, PCH, what we do need to communicate with the people. I'm looking at the time here, and I know we have to, you know, try to stay consistent with what we do normally when we're in studio. I need you to help me out with that alphabet. So I want to let the people know that, you know, the situation that's going on in Maui, we gave people an opportunity to give in that area. And if it comes through, they can pay for the whole year. I think it's right around $5,000. And if that comes in special with that designation, then we can talk to the radio station about going on live in the Hawaii area. But right now, PCH, if you would be so kind as to let the people know about our alphabets on how they can give to this ministry, and I'll let them know specifically how they can execute that giving.
Well, thanks, Daryl, but normally I would do that, but I really just want to say that we are a faith-supported broadcast. That is, God supports us, but he does it through you, through people who believe in this broadcast, who listen to it, who are blessed by it, equipped by it, and further equips you and informs you to share the gospel with others and to grow in your most holy faith. And basically, I was talking to a friend and just the other night, Daryl, and I said, well, this ministry that we're in, really, we have no overhead. Now, that's not quite true, but I said, we don't have, and not that it's wrong, we don't have a mortgage, we don't have any salaries. The money that comes in is the money that goes out. I mean, yes, we pay for radio time for the website and its upkeep and that. And we do training of trainers of Christian missionaries, pastors, leaders, and otherwise, and Bible translators, I should add, in India and Nepal and elsewhere. But again, we're a faith-supported broadcast, and we try not just to use the word transparent. Using the word transparent doesn't mean you are transparent. Being transparent is our books are open, and we, you know, we try to be real straight up and accountable with the funds that come in and how we use them. And they go towards the things we say they go towards. Not just because, you know, as what's called restricted giving, it legally has to go to what you say it's going to go to. But we have various ways that we proportion the funds, everything from supporting the health insurance for the widow of our dear brother Brian, who went to be with the Lord last September 4th, to the training of trainers, pastors, Christian leaders, Bible translators, missionaries, and otherwise, in various parts of the world, and also, of course, just the general overhead of the ministry. But here's the bottom line, folks. Again, as I said earlier, if you believe in what we're doing and you want to partner with us, we really appreciate that. Whether you give a dollar, $5, or some of you give a whole lot more, but that's up to you. It's between you and God. You should support the local fellowship congregation you attend. And then if you're able, if God has blessed you, then support ministries, not just us, but like us, like ours. That then we would thank you for that and appreciate it. But minimally, we covet your prayers because we're not just saying this. We're not trying to grandstand or whatever or appear holier than thou. But we really believe it. If God doesn't bless, it's not worth it. We're just wasting everybody's time, wasting everybody's money. It's only as we do God's will, God's way. That's what counts. God's will, God's way. And preaching the gospel and teaching and training. And again, we train. Again, the beauty is, if I'd go over to Nepal, it'd take me three, four, five years to get competent in the language. Well, I don't have to. I have pastors and missionaries and leaders we know and work with there who already are fluent in that and other languages and are going and preaching the gospel and sharing. And we're just further equipping them, giving them, in essence, a seminary education and then resources and finances, funding, to continue the ministry God has given them. So, Daryl, if people want to join with us, could you tell them how they could do that?
Yeah, thank you, PCH. Folks, what you can do, if you want to do it by online, make it real easy by online, those that use the Internet, you can go to our website at Bible Info Brokers, Bible Info Brokers, click the icon that says support and donate, and then simply follow the one paragraph instructions. Very simple instructions for either one-time giving or on a recurring basis. If you do it right there and do it that way, it incurs a fee. Now, if anybody knows how I deal with things on giving and things like that, I like to eliminate any and all fees. If I can do that by edict, it'll be around the United States at least. No more fees for anybody, but that's not how banks and everybody operate in this system we have. So here's what you can do. Support and donate, click that icon, follow those instructions. That's with a fee. It has been, and it has continued to be, that if you Zelle, Z-E-L-L-E, us the money, then we would get that 100%, then 100% of your designation can go to that particular area that you designated in, as PCH already mentioned. And by Zelling it, here's the address, here's the email address. It's the same one that we use for the support and donate, but you have to do it through Zelle. And that address or email address is livebyword@aol.com. Simply livebyword@aol.com. Zelle it. 100% of the money goes there. Now, anything else, if you're going to write in and send it to our post box office number, you must specifically do this. It's very, very important. That's the post office. That's where we check the mail, send a check back, get lost into the ether of the post office. You must write the envelope and the check out to LBTW, or Living by the Word, and then mail it to P.O. Box 90477. In Los Angeles, that's 90009. So money order, check, have your bank do it, because you do online banking, and they'll mail it in and save you those stamp money. Whatever you do when you're going to mail something in or have it mailed in, it must be made out to LBTW on the envelope. Super important. And then on the check, simply do the same thing. LBTW, or Living by the Word. Spell it out if you wish. And then mail it to P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. We thank you 100% in advance from our heart to your wallet. I don't know if that's appropriate to say, Craig, but I did. And folks, thank you, thank you, thank you. 100% thank you. And I know we was talking about Brian, PCH is coming up. Heck, his birthday is coming up, I think, also. His death date, what was it, September the 4th, is coming up a year past already. Can't believe it's been that much time already. Among other things that, you know, we have been through in our ministry. And we're trying to think of something very special to do on behalf of our dear brother.
Mm-hmm.
So go ahead, PCH.
Perhaps you could ask, find out. I thought Brian's birthday was August 27th, but maybe you can check on that.
I will double check. I'm the oldest. We get mine wrong on time. I always get yours right, because that's some special days to me. I got aunts and all kind of stuff happening, golf tournaments and everything on your birthday. So, hey, your birthday is always special to me. But we'll get that. I'll call Ari and see what's happening with that and make sure. Or anybody know, or Ari, if you're listening, go ahead and tap it on our Facebook so everybody can have it on our Facebook page there. But, you know, talking about Facebook also, while you're on our website at Bible Info Brokers, Bible Info Brokers, the time of our Bible study on Wednesday, I wanted to say this, and Sal, I appreciate your patience. I got to get this stuff together, get all this stuff updated. The time of our Bible study is, I think it's 7:30, but if you just simply follow the instructions and email Sal, then he'll give you the information on how you can join in and on the Bible study on Wednesdays. So, again, I'm looking at the clock, PCH. We have some more time here. Please do me a favor. Let the folks know also about that his channel situation you have, and then we can go.
Yes. Two things, or three things now. But, yeah, by the way, I had a great talk with Sal this last week, and just really appreciate the brother and the study. And so I want to encourage people, go to our website and check it out, and you can get tap in with the study. Also, we do want to pray for our sister Julie, who has cancer. We want to intercede for her. Speaking of interceding, we'll do that. Well, in fact, let's do it right now so we don't forget. Father, we do bring Julie before you with cancer and pray you be gracious to her and merciful. We would ask, if it be thy will, Lord, that you'd heal her, number one, from the cancer, just period, that you would be gracious to her. But if not, Father, that you would see her through this, and her family, her husband, the family as well. Be with her in the pain and just the difficulty of the whole situation. We just bring her before you and pray for your grace and favor and loving kindness and provisions for her and her family in Christ's name. Amen. Mm-hmm. And then, Daryl, as you mentioned, I had the pleasure, the privilege of being on his channel, Internet TV, hischannel.com, and that's Wednesdays at 1 o'clock, 1 to 2. And basically what it is, there's a number, and you can call that number 24/7, 365, literally during the middle of the night, and you can text your question, and then we will attempt to answer it. So I'm on Wednesdays from 1 to 2. You text your questions in whenever it's convenient for you, literally the middle of the night or whenever, late at night otherwise, or early in the morning, and we'll attempt to answer them and really get some great questions, Daryl, and we'll always enjoy that. So folks can do that. That's at hischannel.com. hischannel.com. You can both listen and or watch. It is internet TV. hischannel.com. Again, today's Bible questions, Wednesdays, 1 to 2.
Hey, PJ, let me inform the people that if they want to send that non-fax text, they can do so by dialing 714-815-7097. That's 714-815-7097. Don't you dare do it during this broadcast, but do it thereafter. We really appreciate that. And also, if you happen to be on the internet and you're on the internet all week long, you know, listen, we understand that you should be studying the Bible, you should be praying and all those things like that. But I try to inform people that you're not going to study the Bible until you at least start reading it. You know, things happen in your life, and I just think that it's real simple. You just start reading that Bible and understanding and getting into what the Lord says about various things that can happen in your life. But if you just read it in a habitual way, and here's my habit for you, it's very easy. You can actually download an app that can play it back you're reading along. It's almost like a sing-along, PCH. And by doing so, you're opening your ear gate, your eye gate, and you're speaking softly as you're reading those difficult words in the Old Testament. And it's a joy to do it chronologically. I just happen to like it like that because it puts things in order. And, you know, the best they can come up with the times that the events happen. So take an opportunity to read that word, because then when you read that word, you can then start studying that word, and you're studying that word, you can still have your devotions improve, you can have your prayer life improve, and you will be living by the word, because the word's all in you. Right, PCH?
That's well put. It's safe to say if you don't read the Bible, or at least don't hear the Bible spoken, it's right. Safe to say you're not studying it. And I love what you said, because there's so many audio versions of the Bible available today. Sometimes people, I mean, I'm going to argue you ought to, by all means, read the Bible, read it, and read it daily. Yeah. You don't. How many of you don't eat every day? We all eat every day and multiple times and more times than we need to at that. I mean, you do need nutrition, but you need your spiritual nutrition. But I want to say this, but then a lot of you spend a lot of time every day in your car traveling back to work and taking the kids places and whatever. You don't get the audio Bible. You can at least hear the word of God. And that is really important, Daryl. I love what you're saying.
I appreciate that, PCH. And if I was in the studio, I can almost hear my extraordinary engineer, Ozzy, saying, easy, got about 30 seconds, and I won't be able to hear the music, I don't believe. But if Ozzy, you can hear me, which you probably can because you're right there in the studio. If you're playing the music now, and folks, you hear music on the radio, that's letting us know that we're about to come into for a break, top of the hour break. I'm assuming it's the top of the hour, Craig, if I'm looking at my watch properly, and I do have, no, it's not ready for top of the hour, but here's what we do have time for, PCH. The good news. Why don't we do this? Why don't we transition? We have about 5 minutes for the top of the hour break. Why don't you take at least 4.5 of those minutes and let the people know how serious it is for them to have a relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
Absolutely, Daryl. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things to enjoy in life. I mean, watching sports. My son plays football, and you know, just enjoy that. And there's a lot of things, and they're good in and of themselves. There's nothing wrong with them, and they're enjoyable. But they don't bring ultimate meaning, purpose, significance to life. As fun as and enjoyable as some things can be, is even rewarding and in some sense significant. But they're not of ultimate significance. They're not of ultimate importance. Indeed, some have called religion, I don't really like to use that word, but it's dealing with ultimate issues, ultimate significance. And that's your life, my friend. Life is not an accident. You're not just here by happenstance. It's not an accident. You have been brought into creation by God. That is through your parents, grandparents, and so on and so forth, of course. But life, and here's the reality, Bo, that life is messed up. Death. There's still one per customer. And it's bad enough that we have to die, but many people die really, really horrific deaths from cancer and all kinds of things. And that's because we've opened the door to sin. An old English word, an old-fashioned word, but all too contemporary, all too true, S-I-N, the ultimate disease. We've basically told God where he can go. We'll do it my way. Thank you very much. I'm going to live my life the way I want to. Oh, and then we can't figure out why our lives are so messed up. Here I will quote the famous theologian Dr. Phil, and how's that working for you? It's not working well because you're trying to live your life without God and bring meaning, significance, purpose, fulfillment, and it's not happening because that's only found in God. We were made for fellowship with God. We're made to have communion, relationship with God, and that's been shortchanged, short-circuited, indeed cut because of sin. We are estranged, we're separated, we're alienated from God. That's the bad news. But the good news is God has made the way back to him, not to becoming God. We're not divine, or potentially so, but we are humans made in God's glorious image. We were made for relationship and then fellowship with God in that order, relationship and fellowship. But both of those have been destroyed, those bridges, because of sin. But the good news is Christ has restored that through his death, burial, resurrection, his perfect life. He paid the penalty for our sins in full, and we can be restored to God. What you're looking for, what you're longing for, the meaning, the significance, the purpose, to fill that vacuum, that void in the center of your soul, is a personal relationship with Jesus. Not a Jesus, not any Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, not the New Age Jesus, Jesus of Mormonism, Islam, Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. No, the Jesus of the Bible. There is a true Jesus and there are counterfeits. Knowing the true one as your personal Lord and Savior brings life and that more abundantly. Trust in Christ. Believe on him. Start reading your Bible or get an audio Bible. Attend a Bible-believing teaching church so you can grow in your faith and know what you believe and why and understand all the glorious riches of what God has done for you for this life and the next. But right now, my friend, you were in need of a heart transplant, but there is a divine surgeon who's in and has paid the price in full for your heart transplant. But you must trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Believe on him and him alone, and God will give you life and that more abundantly.
PCS, I really appreciate that. And listening audience, you have been listening to the Bible Information Brokers with Professor Craig Hawkins, Daryl E.D.D. Fulton, and Eric is actually doing some work in the background. We're trying to work on this Facebook situation. I know you guys are not hearing the professor as clear, but on the archive, so we will have it. We're going to try to do a little work on this Facebook during the break and see if we can get everything clear on. Apparently, you hear my big voice, I think, because I went live here at my house, and that's probably why. He said, but we're going to, you know, this is a learning experience, and we really appreciate the privilege that KKLA, Ozzy, and our engineer extraordinaire has done for us with this mechanism. And, you know, just to have the broadcast like we're having it. So bear with us, you know, forgive us for the imperfections that we all have in this particular one, but we promise you, I do see Timothy's question and some other questions, but we have some more things we want to say on the other side of the break. So what I'm going to do now is give Ozzy the opportunity to start playing that music in my ear, and I just can't hear it great, but I know the numbers. So Ozzy, I want you to take an opportunity to go ahead and take us a break, and then we'll be back after these messages with more of the Bible Information Brokers. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Living by the Word Ministries presentation of the Bible Information Brokers with the team here remotely during this inclement weather. We appreciate you tolerating and putting up with us as far as we bring the broadcast to you. It's a team effort, and we appreciate you. If you're listening on, maybe by Facebook, by the radio, whatever mechanism you're listening to us by, we really appreciate that. Professor Craig Hawkins, Daryl E.D.D. Fulton with Eric Stanton at home, taking care of, at least trying to get the Facebook questions online so we can be able to answer those questions a little bit later on in the broadcast. But without further ado, we just want to bring back the broadcast to
some of the things that has been that we've been talking about that has been on our mind. One of the things that I'm going to ask that you always do is please pray for us, not only as a ministry, but individually. We have lives. We have to deal with the various things, the vicissitudes of our lives, just like you deal with yours. So we do appreciate, as a listening, the listening team that you are, that you will participate with us in that prayerful consideration and petitioning the Lord on our behalf. We thank you for that in advance. PCH, I know we talked about the vitalness and the seriousness of prayer and how we don't do it maybe like we should, a little bit anemic in that area, along with reading the Word of God. We're trying to get the folks to understand how serious that is as well. We've talked about that. But so here's what I'm going to do. Facebook, tweet, email, messenger, .com website for the emails, and also Truth Social. We have those ways that can communicate with us tonight, but unfortunately not telephonically right now. And we do appreciate you communicating your question. PCH, I do have a question here if you want to deal with one from Facebook for my dear friend Timothy. You want to deal with that?
Sure.
All right, let me see if I can squinchly read it. I'm supposed to have glasses here at the house, but this print is so small, but I think I got it here. He says, how does Joel 2:25, and it says, I will repay you for the year of the locusts have eaten, the great locust and the young locust, the other locust, and the locust swarm, my great army that I sent among you. And what Timothy's question is, and the way I understand this question to be is, how does that apply to us today? Or was that just specifically for them at the time that it was going on?
Sure, and that is an issue. You hear things like the prayer of Jabez. Jabez was a prophet in the Old Testament. People take his prayer and a promise given to him, and they assume, and that's the danger, that it applies to all of us. Now, many times there are principles. We could take the Proverbs and the principles. While a passage may have not been explicitly written to us or for us explicitly, but it often in principle it applies. But there are some unique promises, and I don't think there's anything wrong. I don't think God's upset, like, well, you shouldn't be asking about that. I mean, if it's something good, worthwhile, well, sure, we could ask that. There's no harm in doing that. But I would argue that passage in another place where it says, again, yeah, God will restore the years eaten by the locusts. That was given to Israel, and indeed Israel at a specific time and place. And that's not a universal or a general promise for everybody. And so certainly the principle is God can restore years where we've lost out, where things have happened, particularly because of our sin, where we've missed out on some things, and God can restore that in some significant sense. But that's a general principle, and that really is up to God and his perfect will. And I believe God does want good things for his kids. But as someone else has well said, God's major concern with us is not our happiness. It's not even our health. It's our holiness. And we often are all concerned about the other. So I think we just maybe need to put that in perspective. I have a hard time believing that's a promise that it applies to all of us.
Well, I'm a little. I know a lot of people almost want to tune us off when you say God's not interested in our happiness. What kind of loving father was not being concerned about our happiness? PCH, you want to extrapolate or just making this general statement?
Sure. Think of your kids or your grandkids. Those of us who have them. I mean, it's not that I want them to be miserable. It's not that I don't want them to enjoy life. But my goal isn't being the entertainment, captain. My goal is not just their happiness. So giving them whatever they want, whenever they want it. If I'm spoiling them, if it's not really good for them, giving them permission to stay out all hours of the night because they want to be with their friends or whatever. I mean, because we love people, we say no. We say, or not yet, or not at this time. We delay gratification. We talk about a certain level of responsibility. You can't just start driving a car at 12 years old or younger. There are things that people need to grow and experience. And again, it's not that I don't love my children or we don't love our grandchildren, but that we want the best for them. But the best isn't just their happiness, isn't giving them cotton candy every time they want it, right? Mm. They have to eat nutritiously. It doesn't mean you can't have treats. You can't, you never, but you can't just have treats all, you know, well, it'd make me happy if I could have it all the time. No, it wouldn't. It's what is for our best. So why in so many things in life? Why do we go to school so long? Why do we go to the doctor? Why and let them, you know, probe and prod us and all these things? It's because it's for our best, our well-being. It's not always easy. It's not always good. I mean, look how many kids complain about having to go to school, but then they don't. They either they don't go or they don't pay attention. Then they pay for it the rest of their lives. It with hardships and difficulties because they don't know the things they need to know or have the skills that are necessary to do well in life.
When you had mentioned school, PCH, I have my mind immediately reflect to this is the 50th year of my graduation from high school, and they literally just had the day before this so-called storm was going to come down a picnic at a park back in the Inglewood days. I'm Morningside, since 1973 graduate. And so I forgot all about it, so to speak. I called the folks while they were there and just told them all that, listen, I'm probably going to be one of the oldest guys if I would have showed up there. There may be a few other ones there, but they had a couple of guys from 73. So I said, I'm going to just call and let you all know I want you to enjoy yourself, not too much in the wrong way, but I also want you guys to get in before the weather gets bad. You know how you used to tell us to get in before it gets dark? Well, I want them all to get in that picnic before the weather gets bad out there. And it was just sort of a cute joke with them to be able to understand that. Man, it's been over 50 years ago when I used to get those type of instructions from my mom and my dad about the things that I wanted versus the thing I really needed and why they were saying yes sometimes and no a lot of times. And I really love them and appreciate them for it.
Yeah, Daryl, it's amazing. I mean, the perspective of time, yeah, I'm sure in one sense it'll be even different if should the Lord tarry and we live another 10, 20 years. But for me, I've got 4 more years until it's my 50th anniversary, you know, of high school. But 50, but you think of that, 50 years ago, I mean, it was like yesterday that I was there. In fact, I actually was looking to get out of high school. My dad said, look, just finish up. You'll be out of school the rest of your life. I was kind of bored with high school. And was working and doing martial arts and other stuff at the time, and I'm like, I'm done with this place, but now you look back and you go, wow, it wasn't so bad at all.
Indeed.
But perspective. I mean, I'm,
go ahead, V.
Oh no, yeah, Daryl. But it's you think of that, yeah, 50 years ago. But doesn't it, in one sense, just seem like it was yesterday that you were in high school?
Listen, I'm telling you, Craig, I'm looking literally at my basketball team that happened to have been number one in the nation at the time. I'm looking at a picture of us all, and I'm telling you, a lot of these guys I still have communication with and talk to, but man, it looked like it. I mean, it looked like we just played yesterday, and we had a very rainy night in Glendale, but I won't go over that. That was the sad part about high school for me. But anyway, long story short, yes, indeed, man. I'm looking at a high school pitcher with a basketball team that I played, and your son played on the football team, and he's going to have those memories, and you're going to still have to be his daddy and let him know yes and no sometime, but please never tell him no to a game of golf. Please don't do that.
Well, you know, Daryl, I mean, it's just, it's amazing. I mean, again, I want the best, but my youngest son, he was on a team. They just played the number one team in the nation.
Yeah.
Now, they lost, but they should, but yeah. They showed up. It was 14-28, but again, numero uno in the whole nation. Would I have wanted his team to win? And that, yes, but he's also learning life lessons that things don't always go the way we want. We do our best. We work hard. We put in the work, if you will, as the saying goes. We do what we got to do, but things don't. Oh, it's not always storybook. It doesn't always go the way we want. So, it's okay to have a little heartache. It's okay to like, wow, I'm bummed that we didn't win. That's life. None of us wins at everything all the time. But what matters is that we win in the sense of our character, that our character is formed. And even as important as that is, most importantly, as we mentioned earlier, we have relationship and fellowship with God. That's what it's, what life's all about. We can enjoy the other things. We can enjoy the flowers and what have you along the life's way. But let's not let those things get confused with the most important things.
100% PCH, you know, and you're talking about the most important thing in life. We got a question from our dear friend, Reverend Phil from Messenger. But those of you that are listening, again, it's a special programming because we're Craig and I are both remote. Eric is also remote. We're trying to deal with learning something about how we had to do this particular broadcast, and we have learned some things. So I appreciate the learning experience. We're talking about, you know, going through school. We're going through school on this particular broadcast, as it were. But I tell you one thing, if you want to communicate with us, we have the communication as far as receiving questions. If you'd be so kind to go to our Facebook page, our True Social page, or even Messenger, Tweet, or our .com website, send us an email. We can receive questions that way. And the same address is one address. Bible Info Brokers. Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, email, Tweet, Messenger, and Truth Social. So on Messenger, PCH, I have a question from Reverend Phil, and he's, I'm going to get into it. He says, you know, hello to us. And he said, trust all is well during the storm. He said, my question has to deal with the wickedness that seems to have taken over the presidency in Congress. He said, I know there are Christians in Congress, but it seems they have aligned themselves with unrighteousness in the name of their party's platform, rather than expressing wickedness and speaking out against things that are contrary to God's word, which many of them, or these people in Congress, know is wrong, but they say nothing. Some of my friends believe that it will take an unprecedented event that will bring America to its knees to get us to repent as individuals and as a nation. He said, I appreciate your comments. And again, Reverend Phil from Eastvale. And we kind of dealt with it a little bit, Craig, but this is the seriousness of what's going on right now in our nation, man, in regards to what kind of precedent we're setting in regards to former presidents being indicted and current presidents going through what they're going through. Man, it's some bad stuff that's going on actually in our country, Craig. And shouldn't we be praying for our leaders, as the Bible says, first, so that we can have some kind of civility in our nation?
Well, sure. Yeah. We are told in Timothy about praying for those in leadership, and clearly we can and should do that. And I want to say here, I don't need to be partisan. I'm going to pick on both parties. And of course, it's really more than just two parties, but the two big ones in America.
Right.
I believe Christians should be politically active. I don't put my hope in politics and people, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't vote and be involved. I really don't have much patience for Christians who whine and complain about society and how things are messed up, and then they don't even bother to go vote and just spend a little time getting to know about candidates and platforms and what have you. So, again, I'm going to throw dirt on both sides. I'm not just going to pick on one party, the current president, but I think there are many despicable acts. And to me, one of the ways God judges people is by giving them wicked leaders. And I think that is an issue. Look, none of us are perfect, but certainly some are more messed up than others. I mean, we're all sinners, but not everybody's a serial killer. Let me say the obvious for people who don't get the point. And certainly in politics, it seems sometimes. And I'm not saying there's not any, humanly speaking, good people, relatively good people, but it seems many of them, it's all about them. All they care about is getting reelected or advancing to the next office. And I think of some passages in scriptures. There's many of them, but two of them. Daniel seems to be the go-to book tonight. And I think of this passage, Daryl, and answering Phil's questions and concerns, Daniel 4, Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "The decision is announced by the messengers. The Holy One declares the verdict, so that the living may know that the Most High, that is God, is sovereign over the kingdoms of men." So, by the way, so God's ultimately in control. Again, it doesn't mean we don't do things and plan and study and vote and all that, but ultimately God is in control. But listen to this. That the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of men. And by lowliest, it doesn't necessarily mean poor. It means not the brightest bulb, certainly morally not the highest standards. We often seem to get people who are really unqualified intellectually, character-wise, and morally. So just in case we missed it, now that's Daniel 4:17. But over in Daniel 5, we get the same thing, and there's other passages. In Daniel 5, verse 21, it's a long verse, we'll cut to the end of it. It says, regarding Nebuchadnezzar and when God judged him, it says in the last part of Daniel 5:21, it says that he, that is, until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and sets over them anyone he wishes. In other words, God sets people up and he takes them down. God puts people in place. And one of the ways he judges nations as often is by bad leaders. And we certainly seem to have a bumper crop of bad leaders. Sometimes I just wondered, I mean, these kids go to high school. They don't seem to even understand basic math. You know, most of these guys, career politicians, and by guys, I mean guys and gals, they seem to have never had a regular job like the rest of us. They don't seem to understand what it means to have a budget. And you have to stay within it. You can't just spend money. They're really good at spending money. They don't seem to think things through. And often they are immoral and they're selfish and sinful, and they really are just looking out for themselves. And they use a public office or public service, so-called, as a way to pad their own pocket. So I'm pretty harsh on this because, yeah, I think we're seeing a bumper crop of bad apples, to mix my metaphors here. People who really are to the chagrin and to the detriment of our society and leadership. But once again, let's tie it in, Daryl, but this is where prayer comes in. We need to be praying. Even if we're saying we're praying these people out of office.
What is that, imprecatory prayer we could throw out there?
Well, it's pretty close. It's not there, yeah. I mean, and there are some decent ones. I mean, again, some people who do have my respect, but they're relatively few and far between. And some of these people, I'm just like, oh, I got to be nice. This is a Christian program. I just was going to say, not some cuss words, but some things that aren't very nice. So I'm going to one time guard my tongue and not say what I wanted to say.
Well, you could be firm, Craig, but fair. I mean, it's like that.
Well,
in the box.
Yeah, but I will. We will get a lot of complaints if I say what I want to say.
God didn't buy this song, PCH. Well, about the first king when Israel had him as a king, and then they wanted a king like everybody else, all the other nations. So God told them, "Okay, you want a king, huh? And so let me tell you what the king is going to do to you attacking you, taking your boys and your men, and taking all your property and getting overtaxing and all the other things that went down back some many thousand years ago." Where have we learned our lessons? And I'm saying we haven't. We haven't learned our lesson. But I'm like this. In America, you don't have a complaint, far as I'm concerned, because two things. If you don't vote, you definitely don't say anything to me. But if you do vote, we're getting what we vote for. You can run for office. I can run for office. Yeah, you get a car. I get a car. Whatever. We all have an opportunity to make this situation better from a political standpoint, but we have to take serious the things that we have, the resources that we have. We ask people to support us with the resources they have to continue doing this ministry, Craig. And they do that, and they're faithful few that do that. And those few have kept us on the air for 25-plus years. Can you imagine if you were a company, and your company was the United States of America, and you have the record that it has for the last 50 years from just an economic standpoint, wouldn't you be underwater? Wouldn't you be out of business by now?
Oh, underwater reference to the weather, yeah. You know, Daryl, I won't say what I was going to say. I shouldn't. But I'll tell you this. My dad, one of the things he used to say to me, my dad, Lord bless him, 95, still alive. But when I was younger, and I did, in particular, even more dumb things than I do now, he would say to me, if ignorance was an alley, you'd be a boulevard. And I'll leave it.
I like that now.
That was the old drill instructor. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know, PCH, again, man, it's the beauty of living in the United States of America, but if we're not careful, and I think that we're not being as careful as we could be. We as individuals need to ask ourselves, what can we individually do? What can we actually individually do to make this nation a better place for all? It was a very interesting time. I had a young man from China who was just in China for a couple of weeks. He came to the golf course, Craig. He lost his AirPods, my dad. And I said, so I had time. I said, so how are we going to look for some AirPods in this big old golf course? We have two golf courses out here. He said, here's the circle. We have to go to this circle. So it had a thing where actually he, I guess you can chime in and find out where this AirPod was. And then he showed me on it, whereby it, when it binged first and gave me the date and time, and then he gave me another date and time. And I said, so the circle stayed the same, so it's in that area. So we started looking for it. But then he started explaining his life, how he came out here out here 14 years, been out here for a couple of weeks, him and his father, and they're going to high school. And he said to me, something very interesting. This young Chinese boy, I took a picture with him. We exchanged phone numbers because I want to keep up with him, especially since he's a golfer, you know that. And he plays basketball, too. But he said to me that, you know, I spent $3,000, whatever the Chinese dollar for it. I said, what's the translation into English money, U.S. money? And he said, like $400. I said, you had that much money to spend on air things you put in your ear? He said, no, my dad. I said, let me tell you something, young man. Your dad paid good money. You out here looking for it. I commend you for that. But I'm going to ask that you make a promise to me about what you'll do about those AirPods. I'm going to ask that you don't. You're probably not going to find them. No one's going to turn them in, probably. I'm going to ask that you make a commitment to me without telling your dad that you will pay him back for those AirPods. And you will work for that money and pay him back. He looked at me like, thank you. He said, I never thought about doing that. And so even though he was not my kid, he's from China, and he took that advice that I gave him because the spirit of which I gave it to him was to be a responsible young man. Because we talked about a few other things. We spent 35 minutes together, Craig, and that's why I love the game of golf and the experience of meeting so many different people. But that one lesson right there, and I'll see him again because I know where he goes to school and I know what he's trying to do in life. He said, I make the commitment to you to do that. And I told him, I don't want you to tell your dad. I just want you to pay your dad for that. And then tell me what happens after that. So I'm waiting to see what happens with that, man. And that, those are the type of things we're saying, that the type of advice and the type of things that we don't do in our nation. Like your dad told you about, you know, your situation. My parents told me about mine. We're losing the prerogative and the responsibility to really give sage advice to our young ones that's behind us. And then it translates into the world that we have now in the United States. And I'm saddened for that, PCH. I'm very saddened.
Well, yeah, there's a reason our culture is the way it is, and the lack of responsibility and ungodliness and so on and so forth. By the way, a couple of months ago when we went to, the guys I work with the training of trainers, training, you know, Bible translators, missionaries, pastors, Christian leaders. But I took a young man with me who's actually working on his MDiv now, just starting. He just finished his bachelor's in theology, and just a great young man, a fine young guy. And at any rate, this is the second time to go on with me to Nepal and working on the TOT. But this guy's a witnessing machine, and we were at LAX, and we're just waiting for our first flight. We had to fly to Dubai and then there to Nepal, to Kathmandu. Anyway, but he struck up this conversation with this young man from China, was going back home. He was going to UC San Diego, but going back home. And, anyways, I was just so jazzed that this young man that was with me would really share the gospel with him. In fact, when we got into Dubai, he had a layover. Now, he was going to, from there to China. We were going to Nepal, but we got a chance to talk to him again. And to me, it was just, you can say, well, what's the point? The point was of, you're talking about this young man and your input with him, but we had a chance to share the gospel with this young man and answer some of his questions and concerns and objections to Christianity. And I just thought, you know, why don't more of us, if you will, why are we not concerned and care about those around us and investing in people, including those who are, frankly, are going to be leaders going back to the countries that they came from. You know, yes. Studying here, he can only be studying here, and he plans to go back and live in China, at least now, as of, you know, last time we talked to him. But I was just so jazzed that this young man that I was with took the time and care and showed concern and literally listened to this young Chinese man of sharing the gospel with him and trying to make an eternal difference. I thought, boy, that's what it's all about.
Was that the same guy that that Brian and you guys went with, Brother Sam?
Yeah.
There you go. See,
Sam Wynn,
Give the old man some credit. Look at my memory. I can't remember my own kid, my grandkid's name sometimes, but I remember that.
You're surprised me. Yeah, no, that was Sam, and Brian and him had a, you would have thought they were long-lost brothers. Now, height-wise, there's quite a big difference, but you would have thought they were long-lost brothers. There was so much bantering, and that was, I'll tell you right now, that was a delightful trip because of the ministry, but because I was traveling with Brian and Sam that previous trip, August of last year, of 22, that was just a phenomenal time of ministry and just, it just, you know, some people are just so enjoyable to be with. And then we were with Brad Watt, who works with Love Justice International, Christian ministry dealing with traffic, young people, particularly little girls. And then our driver, Kumar, who has a background in martial arts. The five of us, it was Banner City, Daryl. We had a hilarious time. It was a lot of good, clean fun.
You know, I don't do that too often. You know, I don't do that bantering stuff. I'm a little bit more serious than you guys.
Oh, no, not you. No.
but seriously speaking, in regards to ministry and doing ministry, I seriously want to thank the people. I know we mentioned about Hawaii last year, Craig, and not last year, last week, and having the opportunity to go on. And we talked about it, and just very seriously, we wish that we could be on a larger market and things like that. But I think we're gonna do, and from my opinion, I think you would agree with me on this. The way we've been doing ministry for the last 25 years, not building up edifices for ourselves and, you know, all these different buildings you have to take care of and stuff like that. But the two different ways we do ministry with the TOT and the BIB, I kind of like that, but that business model. I was going to mention something about this something athletic thing. I'll just send you the information. Maybe we could talk about it next week because they answered the transgender question. Oh, they answered it, as far as I'm concerned, Craig, very specifically in their policy and stuff like that. And I'm going to read over it, let you read over it, and then we maybe talk about it next week, the Lord willing, because it's so now on how they have to deal with that and what they're trying to do with athletes being basically owners of what they're doing is so similar to what I'm going to be doing in this thing that the Lord gave me in regards to the double ambassador. I won't spoil it for the listening audience now until I bring it all together next week, if the Lord willing, to talk about it, because it's so now, so current, and we're dealing with these things, and I would just like to have the answers. I don't like to just talk about the problem, Craig. There's an answer. We have the answer for the sin disease. So certainly these things that's less than the sin disease, we can have some kind of answers for. If, watch this, go back to our theme of the day. Pray to the Lord. Ask God to give us answers to make our world a better place. Individually, collectively, where you stand. And I don't think we do something just that simple. And if we just simply pray that prayer for God to give us answers, I believe that the God we talked about in church today in Ephesians 3:20 and 21, he will do exceedingly what? Above all that we can ask or think. Because the same God resides in us, PCH. And I don't think we really allow ourselves enough time to meditate upon that.
Yes. Hey, Daryl, those are great thoughts. I truly appreciate that. By the way, I'm a little slow at times. It just dawned on me. You were just talking, of course, you were talking about this is your 50th year out of high school. And, you know, yeah. It's amazing, particularly I remember, again, as we were saying, I can remember it was like yesterday when I was high school. Well, I was in high school. And, of course, for me, it's 4 more years and it'll be 50. And of course, in 2 more years, I'll have been a Christian for 50 years. But wow. Another anniversary, Daryl, I kind of forgot about it. I wasn't really computing. I kind of stopped last summer with Brian's death. But this is my 25th year on this program with you. It's been 25 years because it was in the summer, and here we are towards the end of August. It's been 25 years that you and I and Brian have been doing this program. This is amazing to me. Again, time's going to pass. Life's going to go by. Boy, make the most of it. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. But I just thought, wow, it has been 25 years. And for 25 years, I was driving up to KKLA, or at least many times, I should say.
Man, I'll just add to that, PCH, the history, and I'll bring up one of our elder statesmen, my dear older brother, and we talk about having banter and jokes. You remember the old joke that when you had said, Craig, we had like, 6 hours because we were doing simulcast, we were internet radio, internet TV, and our show that we do right now, and that was like total 6 hours, and 2 hours after that, man, and you kept saying that we cannot talk for 6 hours. Now, you've been on radio much longer than us, and you were the veteran, even though you were the youngest at the time. Man, you saw how we filled that time. Had no problem doing it. And I'm telling you, it's I don't know the people that we have affected by our program, and I'm kind of glad, you know how you get a rate of return? I'm kind of glad that the sovereign God of the universe, the total just God, he's beyond justice for me to be able to do what he did as far as dying in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, to save our wretched soul. But that God, you are guaranteed to get a beautiful rate of return as we have the privilege to work in the kingdom. And we don't talk about that enough. Not about our rate of return, but just the idea that you're getting a blessing by doing it now, but you're going to get an eternal blessing and by being in heaven, but also the rewards for doing the work of ministry. Watch this. If we're doing it with the proper intent of the heart, and that's what I would like you to talk about right now, Craig, if you can, because we talked about it before, but can you give those reasonings on how we are to do the right thing, the right way, for the right cause, with the right heart attitude? Now, I may have missed some in those intentions, but I need you to kind of tie it and put a nice little bow on how we really need to think as individual Christians, talking to a listening audience, how we ought to do ministry and how we ought to do God's work. Why? And how?
Well, I'd love to, Daryl, but I do want to remind people, especially if you just tuned in, you're going, "Boy, these guys are talking more than normal. How come they're not taking calls?" Well, that's because we're having we're all remote because of the storm, and so we're not down to the studio, so we can't take calls tonight. We're doing some Facebook questions. We did take a couple of those. So you can do Facebook. And what's the address, Daryl? People want to send a question to us, Facebook?
Indeed. Bible Info Brokers, like we took up a Facebook question or two, and also with the Messenger, Truth Social. I'm going to check those as you're giving the little talk here. So it's Truth Social, Messenger, Tweet, .com website for the email, and Facebook, all those platforms. Same address, Bible Info Brokers, Bible Info Brokers. But please, we have about 25 minutes left in the broadcast, so take advantage of get some questions in there. We get those questions asked and answered.
Yeah, so thanks, Daryl. And so, yeah, we are, though, nonetheless, tonight, I'm celebrating 25 years being on this program. I was on radio even longer than that, but this program, that was 25 years ago, I met with you and Brian and some others, and then became a part of the team. And we were talking earlier tonight about prayer and about God really orchestrating and overseeing who gets appointed in government. It sometimes is judgment for us for not being involved and or not caring. But Daryl, we've talked numerous times about ethics, and In fact, I just read an article today, and actually I was disappointed, a major Christian publication, and they said they had a number of leaders and scholars, and actually I thought the article wasn't very deep at all. It was dealing with ethics, and I'm not trying to be mean, I teach in this area. I teach, you know, graduate students and future attorneys. Ethics. Don't laugh. Some say it's an oxymoron. You're trying to teach ethics to attorneys. Come on, get real, Hawkins. But that may be. But seriously, we talk about in ethics from the Christian perspective. There's three big factors. Let me step back from all. It's for the glory of God, the motivation. But I'll come back to that. But we're saved by the finished work of Jesus Christ plus nothing. I'm not saved because I do this and do that or don't do this and don't do that anymore. I'm saved because Christ has paid in full the penalty for my sins. I'm saved because he has given to me his righteousness. We call it the doctrine of imputation. Legizomai. It doesn't sound nice, but it's a great Greek word. It's a banking and legal term, which means paid in full. That Christ is imputed. That's tetelestai, but paid in full. Legizomai is accounted or reckoned. And so it would be like someone says, well, I owe money. And they said, no, somebody's paid your bill. So they credit it to your account. It's been credited to your account, the payment. It's paid in full. Or somebody put money in your bank account or checking account. Let's say through Zelle, somebody put it there. It's not a mistake. And they go, oh, no, that's yours. It was credited to your account, credited, imputed, reckoned, same terms, synonymous, if you will, I should say. So we're saved by the work of Christ plus nothing. His righteousness has been imputed to us, given to us. But we are saved unto good works. The good works don't save us, but they are the proof of salvation. So again, they're not the root or the fruit. We're not saved from our works, but we're saved for good works. And so these are just vitally important issues here. So for by grace you save through faith, and that not of yourselves, of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So I was saved for good works. Or look at Titus. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness, worldly passions, and to live self-contrite, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, what? Who gave himself for us to redeem us from all evilness and to purify for himself a people that are eager to do what is good. So we were saved of good works. The two greatest passages on grace and faith and salvation as a gift of God talk about works, that they're joined together. So Christians have good works. But again, those works don't save us, but they are the proof of salvation. But what's a good work? Well, it's doing the right thing the right way with the right motives. The right thing, the right way, with the right motives. So let me give you an example. Let's say you know somebody, you have a friend, and they're going through really hard times financially. Through no fault of their own, maybe an illness or some other catastrophe has happened, and so they're really struggling. And you and your other friends see this, and you want to help them. So in this case, let it be the case that helping them financially, donating some money to them, and not a loan, but giving it to them to help them through, let's say, cancer treatments or payments for treatments or whatever, right, Daryl? So yeah, that is a good thing. So that you did the good thing as opposed to doing nothing, or I'll just pray for you, but that's all I do. I don't help when we could help. Pray, you bet, but also financially assist them. So it's to help them is the right thing, but we need to do it the right way. So let's just say that, for example, it's an Asian family, and the reason I mention Asians is because often they come from an honor shame culture. That honor and shame is really important, and it's important that you don't shame somebody. We do things in America that would be shameful to people in other countries. And by that, they would be felt, they would feel shamed by us, is what I'm trying to say. And so we could do the right thing, but let's say I gave, we gave the money to the guy, but we did it in front of everybody, and he's embarrassed and he feels ashamed because, like, well, I can't provide for my family. I've got to rely on people giving us money and that. So we did a good thing, but we did it the wrong way. We could have done it privately. Hey, brother, we know you're struggling. Sister, we do this because this is in the name of the Lord Jesus. We love you. We want to help you. So it's not doing, it's just doing the right thing. That's important, but the right way. But the number three, with the right motive, because we could give the money to want to give it to them. That's the right thing. We could do it the right way, do it privately so they're not embarrassed. But we might do it because we want to be known, at least among our friends, as, oh, we're such philanthropists. We're so generous. We're trying to get the credit for it. We're drawing attention to ourselves. We did something good. We did it the good or right way, but we did it for the wrong motives. So a true good work that's going to be rewarded by God. Again, salvation is not a reward. You don't earn salvation. Salvation is a gift, but works are rewarded, right? And so doing the right thing, the right way, but with the right motives. And so many times people do the right things, even the right way, except they want to draw attention to themselves. And so they want to exalt themselves, and they don't really give the credit to God and where it belongs. So these are vital to ethics and what we call a good thing or a right action. So when we say good, we're referring to the moral concept of oughtness. It sounds funny but to speak like that, but we're talking about oughtness. You ought to do this or you ought not to do that. So descriptively, we're just saying what we do. But here we're talking about not so much descriptive, but pre or proscriptive. One ought to do this or one ought not to do this, and one ought to do it this way. And so a good work is something one ought to do, or it can be ironically, negatively, you didn't do the thing you shouldn't do. So this is what we call morality. We use the word normative. It deals with moral rightness and wrongness. And God will reward people for doing the right things, the good things, or sometimes not doing the bad thing. But it's important that we see this from God's perspective, and it's not just pat myself on the back. I mean, sometimes, Daryl, I'll just finish on this. You see people, and I didn't invent the term or the phrase, but some of us, we call it a mutual admiration society. We're always trying to just praise our buddies or what have you. And the reality is we should be giving God the credit and the glory and not trying to, you know, break my elbow by patting myself on the back.
Craig, I'm telling you, man. As you were just speaking about that, I'm just thinking about all the prophets of the Old Testament, especially, that had to deal with the idea that they're getting God's word specifically to go to a group of people who, and I'm just going to say one of my favorite guys is an Ezekiel case, and I just want to read two verses to you and share with the listening audience about you talking about doing something the proper way. How would you like to get these instructions from Ezekiel 2, verse 4? I'll just read 4 and 5. It says, "The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says." And here's, I love this part, Craig. Verse 5. "And whether they listen or not, or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious people, they will know that a prophet has been among them." Now, you're talking about getting the mutual admiration society. If you know that God told you to tell folks things, I'm sure this is why you got into apologetics and the various forms of ministry that you got in, Craig, because you know how you were. We talked a little bit about it. We don't need to hear all the sorry stories of none of us. But you know how you were. Who but God? In your opinion, as much as you respect your dad and you love your dad, your mom, and everybody that raised you, is there anybody but God can get you to do what you've been doing for all these years? Watch this, Craig. For the lack of, let me just put it straight up, the lack of financial benefit to the level, watch this, to the level that you see all this other
Mop Hazza and all these other iconic people who do and know less than you get. I ain't trying to get you to rag on nobody, but since we're talking about banter, let's banter around. You didn't have to say no names. I didn't say any names, but just give me your whole mindset on that, PCH.
Well, Daryl, I got into ministry because of calling, and sometimes people talk of ministry like it's a career. They want to advance their career. Well, it'd be good for me to go here. I need to be a youth pastor. But not so much that I have really heart for youth people, but that's a stepping stone to become the pastor of this and then move up and hopefully eventually be the senior pastor or lead pastor, whatever they call them. It's a calling. And you do this because hopefully we care about God. Hopefully we love God, and then he gives us a love for others. And so, I mean, why do I read books on the occult or occultism? I don't enjoy it. I don't like that stuff. But it's a way you show love to people by speaking their language. You've probably heard, you know, the book and the concept of love languages. What speaks to somebody maybe doesn't speak to you or does, but doesn't to others or what have you. But the point is, you do it because we care about these people. We want them to know that we care about them enough to understand what they believe and why, and to share the gospel with them. You know, kind of one joke among many in ministry is sometimes you didn't realize you were taking it when you said yes to God in ministry. You didn't realize you were simultaneously taking a vow of poverty. So, but before I pursue that, I mean, but the point is, it's well worth it because of the privileges we get, of the things I see, of the transformed lives. See people come to Christ. I see we're equipping missionaries. We're giving them. We're funding them. We're training them, pastors, other Christian leaders, and Bible translators. I mean, and some of these people we're dealing with are literally going to unreached people groups in the world, such as in parts of China, and Nepal, and India, and elsewhere. And so that's the reward. But we do. I frankly do believe there are rewards that will be given in the afterlife if they've done truly for the glory of God and the right thing, the right way, with the right motives. But sometimes there's another line to people, and kind of these quips tonight, but it's some people say, you know, I love God, but I can't stand the church, or I'm okay with God, but I'm not okay with Christians if it wasn't for the Christians. I mean, ministry sometimes is a whole lot of headaches. You deal with stuff that I personally wouldn't have dealt with, I wouldn't put up with. I don't need that type of nonsense. But we do it because we're here to serve God, and we're here to serve others and not ourselves. Ministry is, and being a Christian is not about you. It's not about us. You know, it's about God, and it's about loving others. And so, I mean, it's kind of like this. It's like God saying to me, you know, if you love me, you're my servant. Okay, everybody wants the glamorous job. Everybody wants the high pain, high recognition, relatively low speaking frustration problems. Who doesn't want that? But who's willing to serve God in the areas that are not so lovely? We could use an extreme like a leper colony or areas that are really incredibly poor, that the hygiene is lacking, and the place literally stinks. We need to look at our motivations. Why do we do what we do? And are we really doing it for God? Or are we doing it for ourselves? And are we willing to say, yes, Lord, no matter what he asks us to do, are we willing to do it? Not because it's glamorous, not because it's we're going to get a lot of praise or make a lot of money, but because we love God and it's the right and good thing to do, and we're going to bless people. And eternity, that's really all that counts.
PCH, when you mentioned about the poverty thing, the vow of poverty, I think I may have mentioned this to you years ago, but I've had the privilege and opportunity to go to India and was out there for quite a few months and still have dear friends out there to this day. You know, I even talk about my dear place sister that passed away at 54 a few years ago. But I had the privilege of going to Calcutta, and actually when I was with the Trotters, we took a picture with Mother Teresa. Now, even though we don't agree with a whole lot of stuff, say, from a theological standpoint, but just from the specific purpose of what you're saying as far as taking a vow to do work among people who nobody would touch,
I seen that with my own eyes, this young lady about the size of my mom. I never forget just sitting down, squatting down, so I wouldn't, you know, take away from her being in the picture. Remember squatting down, and she actually, Craig, hit me on the top of my head. And I won't tell the reason why on the air. I know that's for, like, sort of like banter stuff, but it was a beautiful expression of her saying, pay attention to the picture, take the picture so we can get on. But this lovely lady and what she did in that ministry out there in Calcutta, man, is the first thing that came to my mind when you was talking about what you were talking about really, really doing what you said people need to do in ministry. And woe to anyone who has a saved soul from Jesus Christ, as you mentioned in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and forget about verse 10, whereby we have work to do that was prepared before even the foundation of the world. From God's perspective, he knows what he has us to do. And I would like, Craig, for you to talk over the last couple of minutes, and then we have to close the broadcast, on why is it important for people to operate in the spiritual sense, not in the sense that you may want to do something for the so-called glam job, or if the Lord put you in that position to do what we call the glam job, is ultimate responsibility and serious business by God's standard.
Well, sure. I mean, and again, I'm not trying to pick on, let's say, singers, but sometimes people, I've seen people who, they got a problem, an ego. They want to be front and center in the choir or in the music group or what have you. It's like they have a neon sign, look at me, look at me. And it's distracting, and it's not about God. We need to have the heart of the Father, which is to be a servant. Is he must increase, we must decrease, as John the Baptist said of Jesus. And I think of the heart of God. I mean, the story of the sheep that one is lost, and that the good shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the one that is lost and brings it back. He doesn't just go, well, that's its problem, it's dumb, it didn't pay attention, it didn't do what I told it to, so it deserves what it gets. Eaten by wolves or lions or bears, whatever, that's what it deserves, is to care about people and to do things that are not glamorous, that are not in the spotlight, to have the heart of God of forgiveness. I think of Jesus on the cross in Luke 23, you know, related topic, Daryl, where Jesus expresses, now, again, they had to repent, but Jesus, even during the midst of his crucifixion, says out loud to the Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, of course, they had to repent, receive that forgiveness. But the point is, God, that is Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son, even while he's being crucified in agonizing, literally excruciating pain, shows the heart of God to forgive. And we need to show the same thing, to forgive people who wrong us, who wrong others. In the name of the Father, for those who genuinely repent, to the Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, to pronounce forgiveness to them, for those who ask for forgiveness and have truly repent. And that can be a very humbling thing. It's not glamour. And when you see the glamour stuff, a lot of that is garbage. It is not true spirit-led ministry. It's the flesh. It's all about the people. And it's sad. We should put the spotlight on Jesus. Look at the Holy Spirit, my last comment here. The Holy Spirit, who's God himself, he's not less. He's not like semi-divine, kind of divine. He's just as divine, worthy of just as much honor and glory as the Father and the Son. But it's as if he has no pride, he has no dignity. He does not put the spotlight on himself, but he draws attention to Jesus and people needing Jesus as the Lord and Savior. He draws attention and glory to God the Father and God the Son, and it's as if he has no sense of dignity, no pride to say the least at all. And that should be our attitude. That is, we should live to bring honor and glory and draw attention only to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, the one true triune God, and serve them. And we do that not with our cute little programs and our little machinations, but we do that by the power of God, by the Spirit of God, doing God's work, God's way.
BJ, you must have been somewhere in the spirit as far as being in church with us today, because that's the very thing we talked about, that Pastor was just saying how
he is getting tired of having dialogue with other pastors and stuff like that that want to emphasize the Holy Spirit as far as the church is concerned, as though you emphasize the Holy Spirit and you forget about Jesus Christ, where what you just said is the absolute 100% the way the Bible puts it. It's not losing anything ontologically from the Holy Spirit for him doing what his ministry is. And that's the beauty of the Trinity, man. To be able, within the Trinity, we see such power, we see such humbleness, we see such grace, we see such wisdom. And it's all there. And then in the person of Jesus Christ, well, we weren't there at the time that he was, you know, walking the earth, as it were, you and I. We, obviously, we just out of high school 50 years ago. Me, not you, but you coming up. And to be able to think back about all the people who had the, man, I'm just going to say it this way, the privilege of being able to look eye to eye to the one that saved our soul. PCH, we only have about, I think, about 3 or 4 more minutes, man. So I'm going to just ask you to, from your heart and from your mind, talk to the people on whatever you want to close with, and then we'll close the broadcast. PCH, were you able to hear me?
Sorry, Daryl. There we go. Yeah, technical
here. Hold on. I got to do one banter. Did you take a break in the middle of my sentence?
Not at all.
Go ahead, my brother.
Daryl, last night I was with one of my dear friends who lost his son when we lost our son. His son was murdered at the same time mine was, and another young man. And we were just talking about the things of God and about living for God and eternity. And when you've lost a loved one, especially a child, that really weighs on you, and you think about your life and making it count, living in light of eternity. And we're talking, you talked about, you know, 50 years for you have been out of high school, you know, this year, and 4 more will be 50 for me. How it's been 25 years I've been on this program, you know, this month, and you've been on 28 years on this broadcast. But what we know is someday, should the Lord tarry, we'll be gone. You know, it'll be time and it'll be somebody else, what have you. What matters is living in light of eternity, living for God. What matters is what God's Word says. It's not what we say. We're mere mortals. We're just humans. And you should only listen to people if they're faithful to God's Word. You should test all things, as 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us to do. Test all things, hold fast to that which is good. We say, even what we say, that's right. Test it all by the Word of God, because the only thing that's going to last, of course, is God, is us, is people, and is God's Word. And we want to be faithful to God's Word, not some newfangled or old-fangled program, but God's Word, faithful, doing God's work, God's ways.
Thank you very much, PCH. Thank you again. This is Mama Grace, baby boy, EDD. And Big Daddy, David Boyce. The Lord willing, we'll be back next week. More on the Bible Information Brokers. Thank you, listening audience, for putting up with us. God bless you. Till we see you next week, Lord willing.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.